Hi, I'm Jana Peterson, and I'm at Oregon Health and Science University, but the data that I'm going to be reporting on today is from my dissertation, which I did at the University of Iowa. And I have no relationships to disclose. I'd like to acknowledge my funders. This research was supported by a grant from the Special Olympics Health Professions Student Grants Program, and those funds come from the CDC. And also the pedometers for this study were provided by the Amran Health Corporation. This research study had two goals. I've had conversations or presented about my data to a number of you in the audience about the self-efficacy and social support portion of my dissertation research. Today I'm going to be talking about the other half of my dissertation research, so I'm going to be focusing on observations of patterns of daily physical activity among adults with intellectual disabilities who live in community-based supported living group settings. And then also I examined the feasibility of an intervention to promote leisure physical activity participation in the supported living setting. So I'm going to talk about those two topics together. Short background, adults with intellectual disabilities have high rates of conditions related to low physical activity participation, including obesity and cardiovascular disease. And research indicates that adults with intellectual disabilities participate in low levels of physical activity and do not reach the recommended daily levels of physical activity. But most studies have been limited by small samples, so I wanted to confirm this via observation, which is why I did the pedometry study. And also, adults with intellectual disabilities who live in community-based settings have worse health profile and lower levels of physical activity than those who live in more restrictive settings. The participants in my study had to receive at least 10 hours a week of staff support living in supported living settings, so not all of them had full-time staff, some did. They were aged 18 to 60, had mild to moderate levels of intellectual disability, and the reason that it was limited to mild to moderate levels of intellectual disability is that there was a self-report interview, which I'm not going to be talking about today, but that limited who could participate in my dissertation study. The individuals who participated in the study were from 13 agencies around the state of Iowa. There were 480 in my recruitment pool, and 39% of the eligible participants participated. So for the pedometry part of the study, I used an Amran pedometer, which has accelerometer technology, which both it was a good pedometer to use because it has timestamp technology, so you can look at the patterns of physical activity throughout the day, which most basic pedometers do not allow you to observe. And also, it had a aerobic activity aspect as well, so you could look at physical activity at two different levels, just steps, any steps that were taken, and then steps that were aerobic in nature, which I'll talk about more when I get to the slide that shows that. Pedometers were worn for 7 days from waking until bed, and it was considered that they had complete data if participants wore the pedometers for at least 10 hours on 5 of those days, and if they had at least 1,000 steps per day. There were 142 with complete data in the sample, and only 20 of the 162 ambulatory participants who participated in the pedometry portion of the study had incomplete pedometer usage. So they really did a great job of being compliant with the study protocol. There were only 12% that were not. As I said in the background portion of the of this presentation, research has shown that individuals with intellectual disabilities have lower rates of physical activity than the general population. And my research confirmed that, but I'm not going to focus on that today. I was more interested in the specifics of the patterns among this population. And what I found was that men and women had similar physical activity patterns, and that is different than the general population, where men are more active than women, but it confirms what previous findings have been for adults with intellectual disabilities. Physical activity decreases with age and with level of intellectual disability. So the individuals with mild level of intellectual disability were more active than those with moderate level of intellectual disability in this study. Physical activity volume is greater on weekdays than on weekends, and in the morning and afternoon than in the evenings. A proportion of the population did accumulate sufficient physical activity when you're looking at physical activity from a steps perspective or volume perspective, but that pretty much across the board, their activity was not intense enough to meet guidelines for aerobic physical activity. I have slides just to show a few of these relationships that I just talked about. This slide shows really two important trends. The first is the sample trend that 40% of the sample, or almost 40% of the sample, had less than 5,000 steps a day, which is considered sedentary. But it's also important to note that as far as physical activity volume, 15% of the sample did have greater than 10,000 steps a day, which meets the requirements for physical activity. So when we're thinking about this population, it's definitely not homogeneous. There is a very large component of the population that's very sedentary, but some people are active. So I think that's important to note. But the other important trend shown on this slide is that all the individuals that had greater than 10,000 steps per day in this study had mild level of intellectual disability. None of the individuals with moderate level of intellectual disability had greater than 10,000 steps a day, and over 50% fit into that sedentary category of less than 5,000 steps a day if they had moderate level of disability. So we're really looking at differences within the sample. I put this slide in to show what you can see by using the Omron pedometer to kind of illustrate what I was talking about with the time stamping. I was really able to look at the trends throughout the day because there was a internal clock that stamped when the steps were being taken. And it just illustrates the low level of physical activity in the evening that I talked about. But you can also see, I divided this into the sample and then the portion of the sample that had mild intellectual disability and the portion that had moderate intellectual disability. And their patterns throughout the day were very similar for individuals with mild and moderate levels of intellectual disability. But throughout the day, it was less across the board for individuals with moderate disability. And then finally, this slide illustrates aerobic physical activity. Aerobic physical activity were steps that were taken for 10 minutes in a row at a rate of at least 60 steps per minute. So it has to be sustained and it has to be at a particular rate. 60 steps per minute is less vigorous than the moderate to vigorous physical activity rate that the guidelines are set on. So this is actually a pretty low standard as far as intensity. But it does have to be sustained for 10 minutes, that you take that rate for 10 minutes in a row. That is just the Omron pedometer cutoff. You're not able to change that at all. But the orange bars show the 30 minutes per day, which would be meeting the guidelines for five days a week of moderate to vigorous physical activity is the recommended amount of physical activity for all Americans, and only two people in the sample met that recommendation. So although I said that physical activity volume was good for a certain proportion of the sample, it was insufficiently intense. So now I'm just going to quickly go through the interview study portion because I don't have a lot of time. But I just did a brief interview study where I interviewed stakeholders 4 administrators from the agencies that were participating in the study, 4 staff, 2 of whom were in supervisory roles and 2 of whom were direct service staff, and participated in one-on-one interviews. And then I held 2 focus groups with individuals with intellectual disabilities. And I presented the findings that I just showed you to them, and talked about what they thought about those patterns, but then also asked them what would be barriers and facilitators to having having an intervention within their setting. And I won't read the quotes to you, although they're very interesting, but because of time. But they told me that a health promotion program should emphasize self-determination and be individualized. And a lot of the focus on self-determination was self-determination to refuse to be physically active, not self-determination to be able to be physically active, which I thought was very interesting. And that was across the board, administrators, staff, and the individuals in the focus groups really talked about how it should be a choice. Also, a health promotion program should provide opportunities for community integration and social interaction. A lot of individuals and their individual plans have community goals, and in the spirit of less restrictive environment, that was very important to administrators and staff as well, to maintain community integration as much as possible. There was some conflict over whether health promotion programs should focus on the sedentary weekend time frame. This has been raised in the literature, whether the environment of supported living settings is at times unhealthy because it is guided by the ideas of staff, then they are part of that environment. That's something we've talked about a lot. And 7 of the 8 interviewees who were staff or administrators said that individuals really like to relax or veg out on the weekends, and so they actually think that opportunities to be physically active on the weekend would not be welcomed by the individuals that they serve. But one administrator talked about at length the fact that he disagrees with that notion. And he said, "We as a system tend to come up with convenient excuses. Well, the people we support really want the weekends to kick back, so I'll do that. But really, I like it. We will stock away ideas that support that idea. They like this weekend because they got to sleep in, so I'll let them sleep in every weekend since they enjoy it. Do they really?" So I thought that was a really insightful comment that shows that not everyone thinks that. Some people think that that might be a product of the environment. And then they also, across the board, talked at length about tight resources being the primary barriers to being able to do health promotion. Both staff time and funding, including reimbursement issues. They Medicaid and federal and local agencies funds being the source of their funds came up as a major barrier for not being able to do such programs. And I think I'm out of time, so I won't read those quotes as well. But in conclusion, adults with intellectual disability practice insufficient physical activity for health, especially of insufficient intensity. Self-determination and choice in physical activity are important to both individuals who participate in or who have intellectual disabilities, and maintaining those are important to their staff and administrators. And resources are a primary agency barrier to health promotion programming. Thank you very much.